Wowee, this is nice. Hiya, Metro. I've actually never been here before. I know, it feels like a sin. But let me let you into a little secret. I am actually a member of Metro. Oh yes, every week apart from now, I watch online. It's a beautiful thing. So it feels like I've come home. I'm here at Metro. Thank you for the welcome. I love Metro. I wake up every day and I find love and I follow and I surf. I get into the bathroom, I brush my teeth to find love, follow, surf. I get dressed to find love, surf, and then I live out find love, follow, surf. So I'm here, I've got the tattoo. I'm not going to show you because it's in an inappropriate place, so we won't get there. But my name is Matt, and I love Metro, but I also work down at Woodland Central as well. I can confirm it's not as good as here. So that's okay, just don't tell anyone because I might lose my job. But we're gonna get into a psalm today, and to give you the heads up, we're looking at Psalm 24. But before that, I wanna play a game. Are you up for playing a little game? Yes. It's game time. And I didn't know what to call this game, and I'm still working on it, so I'm spitballing right now. The game's going to be called the What's the First Thought That Comes Into Your Head About This Person When You See Them On The Next Few Slides Show, hosted by me, Matt Dobson. So it's an easy one. You'll remember it. It'll be fine. But here's the game. If you look to the people next to you, these are the people that you're going to be sharing with. If you don't have anyone next to you, come next to me and we'll have a chat together. But when we see these pictures, I want you to share with the person next to you. You might know them and you might be like, I've already got a formed thought about this person. Or it might be the first time you ever see them. You've got no idea who they are. But I want you to share with the person next to you. What is, in one line, what is the first thing that comes into your head when you think about this person? So, Ben, first one. Let's have a look. This guy here. I'm not going to tell you as some of you will know, some of you won't. Turn to the person next to you. If you don't know them, say, hello, my name is dot, 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 insert your name. And then share the first thing that comes into your head when you think about this person. Love that. Come back in. Here are my first thoughts. I think Silver Fox. Look at that guy. I think big ears. I think lovely Walker's crisps. And I also don't like cheese and onion. So a little bit disgusted. Okay, next photo, Ben. Okay, it's this man. No, it's not Will from The Inbetweeners. What's your first thoughts when you see this guy? The pictures come up. Hey, we're all friends. I know it gets a little bit weird. Everyone, I can feel the tension. But what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about this person? Okay, I can feel the political tension in the room. First thing that comes into my mind, he looks quite friendly. That's the first thing that came into my mind. There's other things too, but that was slightly filtered. Okay, next picture. Oh, it's the buy one, get one free. Here we go. First thoughts, when you see these two people, what are your thoughts? Share with the person next to you. First thoughts that come into your head. What do you think of these guys? All right, back in the room. I heard all sorts of things there. I even heard one person say Oppenheimer, not going to name names, but it was Dan. Okay, next one up. What have we got? Okay. Lizzo, spoiler alert. What do you think of Lizzo? Just a little discussion. What are your thoughts about Lizzo? What comes to your mind when you think of Lizzo? Okay, we're going to move on to the last one, Ben. If we skip all the way through to that final one. So we'll skip one straight to the... It's this guy here. Wow, what a picture. I've actually got a calendar of Philip Gennardi, and this is on every single month. What's your first thoughts that come into your head? Remember, he is in the room, so be careful. I'm only hearing nice things. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, back in the room. See, our thoughts are actually really important. What we think about people, what we perceive of other people is really key, because I was looking into therapy, getting a little bit of help. And what CBT teaches you, that your thoughts then shape your feelings, which shape your actions. And so actually what we think about people is really significant, because it shapes how we feel towards that person, but it also shapes how we will act towards them, whether face-to-face or whether it's behind their back. So an example for you, Ryan Gosling. If Ryan Gosling was in the room right now, I see Ryan as a very, very ridiculously, really ridiculously good-looking man. He's a celebrity, he's an amazing actor, he's really funny, he's a millionaire, he's all of these things. How do I feel when I think about those things about Ryan? I feel intimidated. I feel a bit shy, I feel a bit starstruck, I feel like, a little bit nervous, I feel a little bit in love, I feel all these emotions, and actually, how would I act if he was sat here? I'll be right in the corner, as far away from him as possible, because I'm going to be shy, I'm going to be starstruck. And so when we are thinking about our thoughts of other people, actually what unites us here together is that we're here because of God. We're here either because we're exploring who God is, and we're like, oh, the Christian faith, is this something that that I want to be serious about? Is this something that I want to commit my life to? And you might be on a little journey with that. If you might have been a Christian for a really long time and you're actually loving life and having a great time, or you might even be a Christian and say, hey, I am definitely a sold-out Christian. I've been there for a while, but I'm feeling a little bit discouraged or disheartened, or I'm feeling a little bit... soft in my faith. I'm maybe in a really tough place, but I'm still a Christian. And so if our thoughts indicate our feelings and our feelings dictate our actions, actually an important question for us to ask is, what do we think about God? Like when we think about God right now, what are the first things that pop into our head? Whether you've known him for the first time or you've known him not for the last time. He's still going to be here until eternity. But you might have known him for a while. What do you think about God? Because the reality is, what we think about God will dictate how we feel towards God and how we will act when we're interacting with each other and towards God as well. And so this psalm that we're going to look at is a psalm, it's written by David, and it's Psalm 24. And so the words are going to come up on the screen. It's going to shape how we look for the rest of this evening. So here is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, ye gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. It's a beautiful psalm, and it has so much to say when we're asking this question of who is God. We see through the passage that God is called a creator. He has ownership over the earth and people within it. We see that he is holy in verse 3. We see he's the one who blesses people, verse 5. We see he is a savior. We see he is a King of glory. We see he is strong and mighty. We see he is strong and mighty. And for us here, I wonder how you'll feel in response to that. If these truths are actually real and that is who God is like, if we take this as biblical truth, what do you feel as a result of that? These attributes are all true, and they do, I could personally attest that these are true attributes of God. But at the same time, I feel a little bit distant from God. I feel like that's maybe unachievable, unattainable, maybe a bit kind of corporate and a bit sterile. And so if these are what I believe God to be, I'm going to feel a level of detach with God. But the beautiful thing about this psalm is it doesn't just say the attributes of God. It actually highlights a really important thing, and that is that God is not just holy. It's not just all those things that we read through, but he is also accessible. That is a key thing for us all to believe. Because if we believe that God is accessible, it then means that he is relational. It means that he wants to get to know you. He wants to get to know me. God is to be revered as the creator, but he's also to be seen as someone who wants to know you and know me inside and out. And that goes against so many of the other gods that we see, not only in the Old Testament, but we see in our world now, where most people will see, if they believe in some sort of creator or higher being, that they are out there, they are other, they are distant, they are far away. But our God, that we believe, that we follow, wants to know you and me. And why is that even important? Why should that matter to us that God is relational and wants to know us? Well, it means that not only can we know of his glory, but we can experience his glory. Not only do we know of his might, we can experience his strength. Not only do we know of his love, we can experience his love. Not only do we know of his joy, but we can experience his joy. Not only do we know of his hope, we can experience ourselves his hope. And David goes through in verse 3-6 of how we can enter into the very presence of God. And it's good reading. When we read through those passages, we see that God is accessible. We see that God wants us to enter into his presence. But there's a real challenge there. And we see in verse 4 and through to verse 6, this is how we come into the presence of God. It says, those who have clean hands, a pure heart, and who seek him, can enter into his presence. And on one hand, as someone who follows Jesus and who knows God, I'm like, happy days. I could come into the presence of God. This isn't just a God that is far away and doing his God thing, kind of puppeteering over the world. This is a God who wants to know me and actually invites me into a relationship with him. But on the other hand, I also think, flip. Do I have clean hands? Do I have a pure heart? And I know that God is love. I know that God is great. I know that God is working all things for the good. I know the end is a result and we win. But I also know that God is good. And I look at myself and I think, I'm not. And I just want to be honest with you. This jars me a little bit. And how I feel if I believe that these are the things that God is, that he is accessible, that this is the way that we can enter into his presence. At the same time as feeling like happy days, I'm also feeling like I'm not there. And I'm just going to be honest, I struggle with this every day. Like, genuinely now, I mean, before I came here, I was like, God, help me. Purify my heart, because I know that it's all over the place. I clean my hands, because I know I've done a whole lot of stuff wrong. But even now, standing here, I know since I've said that prayer, the things that are going on in my head and in my heart aren't great. I'm thinking, how do I impress these people? I'm thinking, my people-pleasery side comes out all the time. I want to connect. I'll start saying like little connectory words like, this is amazing. Hey, are you with me? I'll start doing things just to try and get everyone on side. I then fall into a little shame spiral. Do you ever fall into a shame spiral when it's like, oh, something just comes up in the moment. You're like, oh man, Matt, you're bad again. You're bad again. And then you think, oh, that was like last week when you actually told a lie to make yourself look better. Because you wanted to elevate yourself in front of the people that you work with. Or it flips back to that time when I'm married, but then I saw someone else that looked kind of nice, Margot Robbie. And I was like, oh man, the heart isn't pure here. Or I could go into a whole lot of things. I genuinely had this thought where I was like, should I put up every single sin I've done for the last like 2 weeks? And then my people pleaser came out and I was like, no, Matt, they won't like you. Don't do it. But I could genuinely have slides and slides and slides of things that show that my heart isn't pure and my hands aren't clean. That show that actually, am I seeking after God? Or am I just sort of stumbling through and just figuring it out myself? Am I going for the things of God? But actually, am I going for the things of myself? I'll tell you the answer. It's the latter. I'm a little bit unclean. My heart isn't pure. It's just the honest truth. I don't know if you feel that and relate to that as well, that you feel like, oh yeah, I can come into the presence of God, but God is the creator of the world. He is holy. He is pure love. He is pure goodness. And he's also a judge. I'm not any of those things. I'm not going to pass the test. If that's just what you think about God, how would you feel right now? The beautiful thing is that it's actually not about me, myself, you getting clean. It's not about you and your pure heart and through all the good things that you do yourself that gets you into the presence of God. We are not made clean by our own efforts, but by the grace of God that is given to us through Jesus Christ. And that's Jesus, who the writers of the Bible say lived a pure and blameless life, who came to earth as fully God, fully human, and then unjustly was taken to a cross, died. A sinless, blameless man, a pure man, a clean man, died on a cross, and then 3 days later rose again. So that you and me, we don't need to fight, to work hard, to strive, to be clean and to be pure. But all we need to do is turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I look at my own life, I see what goes on in my head, and I see where my heart's going, and it ain't right. I just feel like it's not the most loving thing for you, God. I feel it's not the most loving thing for the people around me. We can turn to Jesus. And he, it says, will clean us up. We'll be made clean, hands clean, hearts pure. The amazing thing is that Jesus then goes on to say, when he comes back and then goes back up to heaven, he says that I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God poured out on all people, every single person. You're not disqualified here in the room. It's you as well. And that we, if we turn to Jesus, we become like a temple or a tabernacle where the presence of God can dwell within us by the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful truth. God is not distant. He's not far away. He wants to be with you. He wants to know you inside and out. And he wants to bless you, the psalm says. He wants to bless you in his presence. So what this means is that all of us, every single one of us, no exceptions, none of us need to strive to enter the presence of God. All we need is Jesus. Beautiful truth. So who is God? He's holy, mighty, magnificent. He's a saviour and he's accessible. How do I feel about that? I feel in awe. I see the wonder of who God is. But at the same time, I see my grottiness. The more I look to God, I see the stuff that's in me. I'm like, wow, I need Jesus. I need freedom. I need to be in the presence of a loving, perfect God. And so how do I act? I come to Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I pray. I turn to him. I say I'm sorry. And then I worship. And this psalm, it ends actually with a declaration and an invitation. And it's David who's writing the song, the psalm. And David goes talking about the gates raising up, about lift up your heads. And for David, this was referring to the city of Jerusalem, which he lived in, which he wanted the presence of God to reside in. And so when he's saying, lift up your heads, lift up your gates, he's saying, guys, our walled off city that's meant to defend us, keep out the enemy, keep us safe inside. Actually, the best way we can keep safe from our enemies, how we keep safe from the people outside, how we see the power of God is mighty in battle, the psalm says, how we see victory is open up them gates and let in God. And that invitation rolls on to us too. That rolls on to us right now as well. The invitation is lift up your heads, open up to God, and let him in. Are you feeling weak? Open up to him. Are you feeling lost? Open up to him. Are you feeling hopeless? Open up to him. Are you feeling despair? Open up to him. The presence of God is accessible to you and me through Jesus Christ. And I wanted this message just to be really simple, because actually this is quite an active psalm. This has been an active psalm for me in my life, because there's a rhythm of life that I can live by where I can be in the presence of God, and I want that. Is we can turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, clean me up. Clean my hands. Send me out. And that's an invitation for all of us now as we'll go back into worship. I want to keep it short and sweet, because this is a time where you can actually respond to this. Wherever you've come from, whether you feel like God's far away, you feel like God's really close, wherever you're at right now, there's more of God for you to experience. More freedom, more love, more power, more hope, more joy. All it takes is saying, Jesus, I come to you. So I wonder if you're able to, if we stand up together and we'll go back into a bit of worship. But I wonder if we just take a moment of quiet. And maybe take a little breath. And maybe just think about God. Just focus your attention on God. And now maybe in your mind, just ask God, God, what are you like? What are you like, God? God, what do you think of me? You might feel a sense of peace or a sense of calm. I just want to ask now that God, Holy Spirit, you will fill each and every one of us. That each of us would be able to, however we hear your voice, would be able to hear your voice say, this is my child who I love and I'm well pleased of. That you, Holy Spirit, who knows our situations inside and out, will be able to speak encouragements to us. Encouragements that build us up. And God, for anything that's maybe shaken us, for those that have been following you for a while, and maybe something in the foundations is just sort of slightly cracked or eroded, I pray, God, that you would speak truth into those situations. You speak truth that counters doubt. And God, for those of us that when we do that debrief of the week in our head, or even as we look forward to this week and we know that actually our motivations, our hearts maybe aren't pure in a few areas. Or even when we look back and we see actually our hands aren't clean. We've maybe not treated people well. We've not loved people the way that you tell us to love people. Maybe now in your head, if things come to mind, maybe just come to Jesus and just say, Jesus, I'm really sorry. I did this, insert thing. And I know that's not what you want me to do. I know that wasn't loving to you, God. I know it wasn't loving to the people around me. God, I ask that you would wash me clean. And know as you bring those things to the foot of the cross, to Jesus, what is replaced there is a loving Father who moves your transgressions, the things you do wrong, from one side of the world all the way to the other. You are clean. And then come to the Father, the presence of God living in you. Welcome God in. This is a daily practice that we can all do. Imagine what life would be like walking in the presence of God hour by hour, minute by minute, day by day. Imagine what would happen. We fully surrender ourselves to God, walked in his presence. It's a game changer. And say, God, if any of us brought things to you, I pray that you would break away any of the shame that sometimes is attached to that. Actually, this would be the end of a cycle of things that are going wrong. It'd be the end of a cycle of those thoughts of, oh, it's only this time next week, the exact same is going to happen, I'm going to be here again. God, I pray that you break that cycle. So God, we thank you, we worship you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.